Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. We have more on that in just a second. This is season 4, maybe.
We think.
3 point something. It's its own standalone season, because clearly, if you're listening to this right now, I'm sure you're shocked because we have not been around at all for the 2022-23 Baylor sports season. But if you are listening, hi, here we are again. This is Amy. And
I'm Etta.
She's Etta, and we are back for a very special Jerome Tang inspired episode of Sour Grapes with Amy and Etta.
Yes.
It is Sunday, January 8th, and we looked before we started recording tonight, and the last time we posted a podcast was January 8th of 2022. So it's good to be back after a year. Etta, how are you doing?
I'm alive. Which,
I mean, that's a good. Big thing. It's a big accomplishment.
It is. It is. Yeah. Can't say
what,
like,
have you been
thriving
doing for the past year?
surviving. Yeah. Just, you know, PhDing, doing more research, trying to not lose my mind, trying to keep up with kiddos. And we have kids that have started band for the first time, both of them, and officially starting organized sports. One of our kids is doing lacrosse now, and that is just, oh, and now they're at two different schools, so it's just like juggling everyone's schedule all the time. So
it's a lot of chauffeuring around, isn't it?
It's so much.
What instruments are they playing?
They are playing, both of them are playing trombone, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not a quiet instrument.
It's not. And I'm like, y'all should have chosen smaller instruments. Like, two trombones and two backpacks and two kids don't fit in my backseat. So.
I did French horn for like a year.
Yeah.
In sixth grade. Did not love. And also a very big, unwieldy instrument.
I did clarinet for 3 years, I think. Yeah. Could not, like, if I had to pick it up and do something right now, could not do anything. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, me and the French horn.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
Lots of kids sports, which, I mean, will come up when we are talking about the football season that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because that's my life now. Cheerleading for Sam and everything under the sun for Graham and... survived Christmas break. Kids went back to school last week. Yay.
Yep.
But it just never ends. Just a lot of tired times.
Yeah.
And Baylor sports have not been the happy distraction that I think we all anticipated going into the 2022 football season and the 2022-23 basketball season.
That's true. Yeah. I feel like since we started this podcast sort of accidentally in 2019.
Was it 2019 or 2018? 2019. Yeah, it was rules last season.
Yeah. Because, I mean, since none of us count 2020, that was not a real season. We didn't have to sour grapes ourselves too much.
Yeah.
Other than, like, the general sour grapes of a global pandemic. So this was we've had a lot of success in general. And this year, you know, if life had not been too crazy for us to do things this fall, we would have been sour grapesing ourselves a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we want to even do, like, is there an icebreaker of the night?
But we do have our little tidbit about our good friend Carol Baskin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, maybe she's not a murderer?
Yeah. Apparently she's not. Apparently the husband formerly known as Dead is no longer dead. He's like alive somewhere in like Costa Rica. Which I just saw a couple weeks ago, but when I just did a Google search a second ago, apparently has been in the news since like 2021. So
I feel like I've missed everything, honestly.
I know.
I don't know. Okay, well, so that BITCH Carol Baskin.
Yep.
Still maybe a BITCH, but not a murderer. So apologies. Apologies
that we know
for
of.
Besmirching her character. That's true. That's fair. And also, you know, lots of things could happen in the meantime.
That's true.
What are you drinking? What are you sipping on? Because you have two different drinks tonight.
I do. I was drinking a gluten-free Pilsner while I was cooking gumbo. And then I also have a glass of Sauvignon Blanc. So what about you?
Presto sparkling rosé, canned wine. It's fine. Fancy. It's good. I bought some for New Year's Eve and I had like one can and then it's done and asleep. So, man, I got to get my mojo back. I got to get my groove back.
I know.
It's probably not going to happen this year because I just get like punched continually. Like everything that I expected to bring me
joy.
My
goal is just like finish.
Wah, wah.
Yep. Finish the PhD. That's my only goal at this point. So.
So like the elephant in the room, it's Sunday, January 8th. Tomorrow is Monday, January 9th, aka the college football national championship.
That game's not happening. I don't know what you're talking about.
I got another reminder email today about how tomorrow at the kids' school is purple day for TCU in the national championship.
And absolutely then they say, not over my dead body.
A little bit lower or any college spirit day. And I'm just like,
Very happy for my TCU friends.
Right.
Emphasis on friends. Will not be wearing purple. Will not be sending my children to school in purple. Will not actively be cheering. But
No. I mean, I don't like.
A part of me is like, ooh, it would be so nice to see the SEC not win.
Right. And the damage that is like going to be inflicted upon Baylor has already been inflicted. Like the mere fact that TCU made the college football playoff and is going to be in the national championship game.
Right.
And like will be in direct competition with Baylor for recruiting sort of thing. Like it's happened. Them losing. I've got to let Betty out here.
She's freaking out. Yes.
I was having a conversation with my kids about this on like Friday as they were talking about they want TCU to lose. And I was like, I get it, but at the same time, I feel like the Lord has shown me time and time again that if I base my happiness on someone else's misery, it never turns out well for me. So like, I am not going to root for TCU to lose. I'm not going to root for them to be embarrassed. I'm hoping for a good game.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, happens. And I will accept it because as a Baylor fan, I have had my fair share of joy and like reveling over the past year and a half, 2 years, really the past 10 years, like the peaks and the valleys. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm not overly worried about it.
I'm not sure that. The vast majority of the Baylor faithful are feeling the same way, are feeling so zen as I am, as we are.
I don't know if it's like zen or if it's just like a complete inability to feel anymore. That might be more.
Right. It's another thing that I was thinking of. I mean, I guess we're just going to get on into this about the winter of our discontent.
Yes.
And how hard it is to not only have Baylor kind of just be disappointing on several fronts this year, but like have our arch nemesis succeed.
Yeah. It's like not only
it's a kick.
Do you suck, but the person you hate the most doesn't suck.
Ugh. Is thriving. And this is where I'm like, I listened to the Bomani Jones podcast. And a few weeks ago, he was talking about unrealistic expectations among fan bases and how it steals our joy as fans to just be like national championship or bust, Big 12 championship or bust. Because if that, like, you can't win those things every single year. Like, you just can't.
Right.
Unless you are Alabama, and like, Baylor is not Alabama. Baylor is not, you know, one of the blue blood, like, so if we are expecting this every time, it robs our joy and it's doing us a disservice and it's becoming something that feels.
So that is something we have been struggling with in our house because Landry, my youngest, won the school spelling bee in December. So he's been working to prepare for the district spelling bee. And it has been really difficult for the district bee. For his school bee, he was set. He was driven. He was the one that was like, "Mom, will you work on my words with me? Mom, help me do this. Mom, help me do that." And now it's like he has convinced himself that he cannot win. And so he's like, why should I even try? Why should I even be happy? I'm like, okay, well, I wasn't proud of you for winning before. I was proud of you for how hard you worked and the effort you put in. You could have gotten out the first round and I still would have been equally as proud of you. So we've been having this whole discussion of where should our value lie? And with the same idea of sports, I will be proud of them as long as they're doing the best that they can. But if I'm looking at you and sort of in the same way as partway through the 2016 season, you put in 6 games worth of work and then you just decide not to show up anymore, then no, I'm not going to be proud of you.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't.
And I don't think that that's the case. That just popped into my head. Right, and don't want to skip opportunities to put shade on that. So.
Yeah. Speaking of shade, have you seen that we have lost 2 kids to the transfer portal who have since committed to Arkansas to go play for Baby Bryles? That's fun.
I just choose to believe that eventually karma and the universe will catch up with them. So. Not the players. I'm using them for Baby Bryles. I don't want to assume pronouns, so.
Right. Yeah. I just, like, I don't want to get preachy because I know that everyone handles disappointment in their own way. But something that I was thinking about, because I went to the basketball game yesterday, and something that I was thinking about the whole way home was just the fact that, like, we won a Big 12 championship last year after, like, losing Jonathan Chamwa-Chachwa to a devastating injury. We won a national championship the year before, which is not something that I ever anticipated. The nature of March Madness is, like, there is a lot of, like, being a really good team, and there is a lot of being incredibly fortunate and having everything kind of just bounce the correct way, the way that you need it to bounce. And it is hard. And with football, like, we tore our program down and have rebuilt it really twice because we hired a new coach right at the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
After Rule rebuilt it. And I'm just like, it's been an embarrassment of riches over the past couple of years, like how much sports joy I have had. It's when true. I did not think ever when I was a student at Baylor that I would experience these things.
No.
And like, I kind of feel like the Baylor fan base has gotten a little bit greedy.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
And it's a little bit toxic on old Baylor Twitter these days with the gatekeeping of how to handle a loss or how disappointed someone can be or not be, or
yeah,
I don't know, not loving it.
That's why I just stick to Baylor Mastodon. So
I need to explore that. I finally got on the ODB Discord this week.
I need to do that. I haven't done that yet.
But like, Discord Arden scares me. Messaged me. Well, I'm just like, there are too many apps like Slack and Discord and Twitter and text messages. And I'm like, sometimes I forget that one exists. And so I will go a whole day without checking it. And
yeah, same.
I need Elon Musk to not suck so that I can just go back to my Twitter and just be there. I mean, I'm still there, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, so earlier this week, we got a message from our friend Kevin about how much our beloved Jerome Tang loves and misses the Sour Grape podcast. As we were, you know, gearing up for his return to Waco as a head coach of a different team. And so we said, okay, probably it would be the right thing to record an episode of Sour Grapes in Jerome Tang's honor.
And we have been talking for a little while about, like, we should record something, but let's wait until the inspiration hits us. And so earlier this week, we decided, okay, inspiration might be hitting.
Inspiration is hitting. I remember him asking earlier in the season, in the football season, where's the Sour Grapes podcast? And I was like, we are trying to push through. We're trying to find the motivation to do this. Texas losing in an unimaginably embarrassing fashion this weekend might inspire us. I think that was before the Texas-Alabama game. It really wasn't unimaginably embarrassing. I think it was a close game.
Yeah.
And he said, nothing like a UT loss to inspire me. And then he beat Texas this week.
Yes.
As head coach in Austin. And I messaged him and I said, nothing like a UT loss to inspire me. And here we are. So we are recording this episode. Coach Jerome Tang. I was not so excited about a Baylor loss. That has not been so fun.
And it really...
But if we're going to lose, I'm okay with it being to him in overtime.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm not okay with close losses, but if it's going to be a loss, I want it to be close.
I would rather it be close.
And so Iowa far,
State on New Year's Eve was unbearable.
Yes. But our other two conference losses thus far have been down to the wire, close losses. So
at home, though.
Hmm?
At home.
Yeah, that's... Sorry, I'm... Pause for a second. I'm having to answer laundry questions.
Wait, you have someone else in your house who does laundry?
No. But actually, John does do laundry. He honestly is better at laundry than I am. So... Or better at...
I'm jealous.
I know. He's better at continuously doing laundry. I tend to just, like, let their pile up laundry and then do a marathon of laundry.
I don't let laundry pile up, and I'm doing, like, a load every single day, and it just still is too much. It's probably because my youngest child changes clothes 47 times a day, and I can't keep track of what is clean and what is... Yeah, no. No, never have a daughter. Never, ever, ever have a daughter. Well,
I don't have to worry about that, so...
At this point, if you had one, it would be... devastating on multiple levels.
I had a dream last night that I was pregnant, and it was like the most stressful dream I've had in a very long time. So, I was pregnant and it was
twins. Great to be a woman. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Anyway, yes. So, not great, Bob. But I keep seeing these tweets that are like, this is an incredible statistic. Baylor is 0-3. In conference play for the first time.
Oh, Jeff Goodman.
And I'm just like, okay, sure. The first time since 2003.
Since
but
his
also,
first season.
Two of those losses were like down to the wire by mere points. So I don't really think that's a fair statistic, even if you think it's flashy and we'll get retweets.
I think it's an interesting statistic.
Yeah.
I think that the TCU loss on Wednesday night is more of kind of an indictment because we were up 17 at one point.
Yes.
And
I blame that one on me. I was in the garage doing woodworking, and then I came inside in the second half, and then we didn't do good. I should have gone back out.
I blame it on Todd, who came downstairs after halftime and refused to leave the room despite me saying they were doing so well and you got down here and now everything is falling apart. And who last night while Graham and I were at the game, messaged me, "Oh, it's a good, fun, close game at this point. Good." Started watching. And once again, we lose. And I'm like, dude, and he's like, "I refuse to cede my ability to watch Baylor sports to superstition." And I'm like, cool, but I haven't tweeted about this, but now I'm putting it out there in the universe. So, like, it's on Todd Padgett.
I don't wear the hoodie during Baylor sporting events anymore, because every time I have worn the hoodie during a Baylor sporting event, we have lost. Doesn't matter the sport. Every sport.
Yeah, I mean, I brought it last night to the game and I left it in my car. Did not wear it. Because the last time I wore it to a Baylor sporting event was the Oklahoma State game last year in January, which we lost, I think, in overtime or in the final seconds of the game. I know, like, I don't think I'm insane. I mean, I do think I'm a little bit insane, but... And I'm not this way necessarily with football, but, like, with Baylor basketball, I feel very superstitious. Like, I feel like I can impact the game.
Yes. I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious.
I'm a little stitious. Here I am.
Yeah.
So I've told Todd we play at West Virginia this week on a Wednesday night at like 7. He and Graham will be at swim practice until 7:40. And I'm like, can you please just, as an experiment, we probably won't win this game because playing at West Virginia in basketball is really, really hard.
Yeah.
But I'm like, can you please just not watch the game so we can see what happens? Please don't disrupt whatever mojo.
Yeah.
And it's an ongoing negotiation. Like, who knows? Because I even got back on the damn Peloton Wednesday night against TCU. And I was like, oh shit, it's working. And then he came down and sat on the damn couch.
That's true. It's Todd's fault.
And I was screaming at him from the bike, go upstairs, please stop watching. He told me I needed to learn some respect. He really did say that.
Do we need to talk about the Scott Drew technical?
So, couldn't really see it. No. But he was angry because they called a foul.
I guess. I was out of the room when it happened. And I just came back in. I think that was shortly after. I was like in and out the whole game. And then I came back in and John was singing John Jacobs.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, Scott Drew got a technical. I was like, wait, what? Our Scott Drew?
Like, notoriously angry Scott Drew.
Yes. And I was like, I bet he was saying things like cotton fluffing. So, I don't know. My brain can't even make up fake curse words.
The greatest plot twist of all time would be if Scott Drew actually has, like, an incredible potty mouth.
That would be my favorite, like...
Oh, I can't see it either. But it would be incredible.
Yeah. I'm just like... My brain can't disconnect that far.
Well, and also sometimes I wonder if, like... If I have internalized Matt as Bear's impressions of Scott Drew in my head, and like if the Scott Drew that I am imagining is real Scott Drew or is Matt as Bear Scott Drew?
Yeah, I think my biggest Matt as Bear Scott is Drew.
Scott is Drew.
Interpretation is, if I see a picture of him laughing in my head, it's the goofy laugh.
Uh-huh.
That's just what
it is.
Yeah,
I can't escape it.
Yeah.
I can't escape it. He is. So I think that stat that Goodman tweeted about how we've never been 0-3 in conference play since Scott Drew's first year. I am not fully aboard the Jerome Tang was the mastermind all along train.
Right.
But I think that maybe we have not been willing to acknowledge how difficult it must be to lose the guy who's been by your side for your entire tenure at Baylor.
Yeah.
And how, like, Jerome Tang played a role, I think, primarily with defensive play. And how we have clearly not yet found someone or something to replicate that within the locker room. And that doesn't mean that it won't happen.
And that, so that is one piece of commentary that stood out to me last night, was King saying last night that Coach Tang would have them do these drills, and he described it as, this is like special teams. This can win or lose games for you. And I feel like we might be missing that. We don't have our special teams anymore. Sort of like Lincoln Riley doesn't apparently believe in a special teams coach.
Didn't we also, like, wasn't McGuire special teams and then, like, defensive line at Baylor? I might be revisionist historying right now. You know, I do think it's significant that, you know, Baylor football lost McGuire kind of near the end of the 2021 football season. Baylor basketball lost Tang, and those guys were both high energy, not the same person, but kind of the same person.
In terms of
like personality and style and the ability to fire people up. And both of those guys have gone on to first year head coach success.
Yeah.
And we've kind of floundered. I don't know what the answer is. And I'm not Sky is Falling, and I'm not Scott Drew can't do it, and I'm not Dave Aranda can't do it, but you can kind of start like making connections and making your own inferences and be like, okay, well, we need to find other assistant coaches who can replicate that energy.
I do think that that's part of it. And it also really is, it's like when you are used to working in a certain way and then, you know, that person leaves, or the support system you thought you had or you previously had is no longer there, then you need to pivot. And sometimes it takes a minute to pivot. To figure out what works now that's not there.
Right. And I think we've been kind of on our heels. I think we have been reacting more than like proactively doing things.
Yeah.
And it's a hard lesson to learn, but it's not impossible. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
We could have just lost our coach this week to a domestic violence case after like flying high and being like top five ranked team.
And have him
if there's anyone who's like, having a worse time.
I don't think I did anything wrong. I mean, not that we've ever had a former coach who got fired and still doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Oh Lord. And not that fan base didn't latch onto that and malign an entire group of people and fans because of that.
Yeah.
I have been saying this for the past week. As a Baylor fan, it really hurts me for TCU to be succeeding, flying so high right now. That's a little bit hard to swallow, but like, whatever. The only thing that has given me a little bit of joy and a little bit of solace in this trying time is that, you know, freaking Gary Patterson is going to be magnanimous and is going to be proud of his players, but it's killing him inside that it took him leaving for them to get to the college football playoff and national championship.
I hope he's writing like sad country music songs about it.
But then additionally, Texas thought they were really freaking on top of things by hiring Gary Patterson. And they thought he was going to make them so good. They thought they had gotten the mastermind. And they are having to sit there with the knowledge that TCU is the first team from Texas to make the college football playoff. That sparks joy.
It does. And like, if we're being completely honest, I would so much rather see TCU than Texas. Like, oh, a million 100%. Percent. Or really, honestly, of the other Big 12 schools, TCU is the other one that I'm like, okay, if it can't be us, I guess it won't kill me that it's them.
Oh, well, see, I feel
but more just TCU because it's like
the one that
another small private.
Right, but that directly impacts us. Like, I feel like they, yeah, them making the college football playoff is going to be more harmful to Baylor than, you know, if Iowa State made it or if Kansas State made it. Or can't, like, just because we are both located in Texas, we are both small private schools, we both have kind of ceded the five-star top recruiting class ground to, you know, Texas A&M and Texas and Oklahoma, and we have acknowledged that those guys are going to kind of get, for the most part, they are going to have their pick of the top players in Texas just because they are the big state schools that are going to the SEC. TCU is still going to be in the Big 12 with us. They are going to be recruiting the exact same players that we are recruiting.
Yeah, that's true.
They are going that's to have point. a very excited donor base willing to pony up all the big bucks for the NIL money.
Does La Quinta have a lot of spare money to donate?
Dude, okay. And this is another thing. The fact that they are located in Fort Worth in a big metroplex as opposed to Waco, Texas, like you've got to imagine that the rich people of Fort Worth, like the Bass family that owns like all of downtown, it will behoove them to donate to TCU Athletics because that is money that is directly brought into Fort Worth.
That's true.
So, like, I don't know what their ties to TCU are. I don't know if they have any, but, like, why wouldn't you throw some money there?
Waco has the white woman market cornered, though.
This is true. Chip and Joanna need to pony up the big bucks and set up a co-op.
It says Magnolia and Silos everywhere in the Farrell Center right now. So they're definitely, I mean, they're putting their HGTV money where their mouth is, at least to some extent.
So this is where we run into the problem, though, of...
I'm honestly a little surprised that the new basketball arena isn't just going to have like two silos on top of it.
Well, so this, and you and I were talking about this prior to recording, the conflict between being a Baylor University donor and a Baylor Athletics donor and putting your money into an NIL co-op and donating to an NIL fund. Because Baylor is small, because we have fewer living donors,
do you think
we have to make decisions?
We would get more or less money if we described the co-op as being in the name, image, and likeness of Jesus Christ.
So, like, this is gonna be an upsetting thing for me to say, but we kind of are doing the Jesus juke that Dabo is doing. Awesome.
Oh.
Because Baylor still believes that we can get players to come for the unique things that Baylor has to offer. And that we don't want to throw money at kids to come here. Which is all well and good, because there is something special about Baylor. But if we want to cling to that special thing, we are going to have to accept that we might have a good year here and there, but like, we are not going to be a national force. Because if I have an 18-year-old child and I know that their window to make money on this sport is little because most kids don't go and play professionally, I'm going to say, I love Baylor, But if you can get $25,000 a year to go play for Texas Tech and also have a scholarship, I would be doing you a disservice.
Yeah.
To say, no, I don't want you to graduate with $100,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
To set you up for the rest of your life.
Or even, you know, here's some money that you can use. Now your parents, your mom, your dad, your grandma can come fly to your games, which maybe you wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. Or, you know, if your family's struggling, you can send money back home and help them. You know, if every place is going to give you a degree, and let's be honest, there are opportunities and organizations in every city where there is a university that will help you become a better person, to focus on the man or the woman, not just the player. Because, I mean, you can find that anywhere if it's what you're truly looking for.
Right.
And the opportunity is I can go here and make money and not be a burden to my family or help them in some way and set myself up for the future, because who knows how long this gravy train will last. Yeah, I'm going to take that.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I didn't even play athletics I didn't play athletics. Wow. I only have like 20 years of schooling. It's fine. But like, I was not an athlete, and I still made the decision as a 19-year-old I'm going to leave Baylor at this point so that I am not taking out an extra, at that time, $16,000 a year in student loan debt. And it's even more now, and cost of living is more, and wage stagnation is more. So.
Yeah, I think that Baylor is in, I think that there are a lot of people panicking right now. And I wouldn't say that the panic is without merit. Like, we are seeing the game change rapidly. Everything. And I think that those of us who have graduated from Baylor have a very special view of Baylor. And we see it as a special place that maybe we met our best friends, maybe we met our spouses, maybe we became who we are there. But sometimes I think that we are a little bit like too proud of ourselves in thinking that, you know, if you are a Christian and you want to grow in your faith, like, you can't do that anywhere else but Baylor, or you aren't going to get, like, no, you can find it. And sometimes I think that Baylor actually makes people lazier in their faith because
you don't have to work for it. Challenge. It's been fed to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the culture, and it's more of a cultural faith than a personal faith.
Yes.
So, yeah, like, I'm not ready to say we're screwed. I'm not ready to say it's all over and everything. We'll never be good again at anything. But we're in kind of a crucial time. And we are in a crucial time where we have a lot of money committed to new facilities and new buildings. And if we don't pivot.
Yeah.
And if we continue to think that kids are going to want to come to Baylor just for the environment of the Baylor University, and it's okay if we don't compete on the NIL stage. Like, we're gonna be left behind.
Yeah,
and there isn't a lot of grace time for us to figure that out. Like, it is kind of because every recruiting class is setting us up for the future, and. But also, NIL changes the game in that we can view players kind of as employees at this point. And it's professional sports. Like, that's what college football is becoming, and college basketball.
Yeah.
And it's all just very different. And I still don't really know how I feel about it, other than, like, I'm glad that people are getting paid.
Yeah.
But it's changing something that I love. And
We'll see.
We will see, but like Baylor cannot take a we'll see approach.
No.
Baylor has to be proactive here.
We are not in charge though, so we will see.
We will see. And that's where I just have to be like, it's okay. My joy does not come from sports. I really enjoyed 2021. It was a great sports year.
It was.
And it can help me weather 2022 and 2023 if they are not great sports years. Maybe.
Who knows?
Do you have any idea who the next coach of the Longhorns basketball team is going to be? And do you have any thoughts about how this has all gone down since Chris Beard was arrested and then a month later fired?
I have thoughts. I think, one, it was good of UT to do their due diligence and not have some knee-jerk reaction of, oh, we're firing you right now. Because I've seen a lot of criticism of them not firing him immediately. Do I think they could have probably done it a little faster? Yeah. But I also don't know all the information on the inside, so who knows? Who knows what they were waiting on and whatnot. I have seen people say, well, but the victim has recanted. And my thought to that is, you mean a person who is already in a relationship with someone who has proven to have violent tendencies and an anger problem, recanted their story when confronted with the possibility that this person might lose their multi-million dollar income? Really? That seems like a power dynamic and continuation of relational abuse. So, I mean, obviously,
and I can't remember which national sports guys were like carrying that water, being like, the victim has recanted her story, blah, blah. And I'm like,
just because she recanted doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means she was pressured to recant.
She still called the police. Probably. She called 911 in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Because she was being abused.
Like, people don't just out of the blue call 911 for no reason.
And I remember saying this to you.
And especially, they don't call 911 and then the police get there and go, oh, this is not just somebody being crazy and trying to call us and get someone in trouble. There's actually an issue here. We're going to arrest and charge the head of UT basketball. If you think for a second that UT or
there's not Austin some calculus officers going on among the Austin police, right?
Didn't think to themselves, oh shit, what am I going to do if I charge this guy? Like, they absolutely did. They weren't pulling up being like, yep, get to arrest Chris Beard today. That sounds fun. Like,
and I just, like, I vividly recall that morning saying, I have no idea what the facts of this story are, but his demeanor alone makes this 100% plausible to me.
Yeah. And the fact, I mean, so far every single thing that has happened has reaffirmed to me the validity of what took place. Like,
well, yes, how he's handling this now. And the fact that his lawyer can't even spell coach correctly. Like, I think in his response, they spelled
amongst
couch.
Us spells things correctly all the time? Not me.
In my statement, that in my letter, that's going.
It's true.
That's going to be released. But like,
I don't know. I've submitted like proposals to NASA, and as soon as I submit it, I go and find a typo. So,
I don't know. I don't. This.
Yeah.
The lawyer is looking a little bit sus, and I don't know. Now. Again, though, I kind of feel like Mark Adams, his assistant head coach, who is now still at Tech, was the mastermind all along. I felt that last year. Now, Texas has the money that they can money whip and get the big names and will eventually just stumble into success by virtue of having all of the best players. But, like, they'll be fine. I'm interested to see how they pivot.
Feel like if you have been a person in the athletics community, regardless of sport, in the last decade, and you want to build something meaningful somewhere, something with longevity, why on earth would you choose to go to Texas?
It is where coaching careers go to die.
Yeah.
I swear the Mack Brown curse is real, and it has infiltrated every aspect of that athletic department.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So, like, okay, if I'm Texas, who am I looking at? Because they're not going to hire, like, someone mentioned Jerome Tang, but, like, I can't see them going after some relatively unproven first-year head coach.
I feel like, to me, it's less that I can't see them going after it because I think they think they're hot shit.
I can't see him going there either.
I can't see him going there.
You know, go after Scott Drew. I can't see him existing in that environment either. Kelvin Sampson at U of H. Well, okay, he has his own, like, sorted past. He would be a good coach. He'd probably win. But, like, can they pivot from one guy with sketchy crap to another guy with kind of issues?
We're at a point in the season where it's like there is no front runner because anybody who
John Calipari, do you go get him because he's kind of worn out his welcome in Kentucky?
But also he's like, if I were John Calipari,
he's an asshole too.
I don't want to go like rebuild some program that just had like a disaster happen. That's
way
more work.
Rebuild it. You don't have to. They've got all of these great players. Like they were doing so well under Beard. You just have to walk in. But you have to know your coaching career is probably going to... My mouth is full because I'm eating my leftover Feral Center hot dog that's been in my purse and my car for the past 24 hours.
Yeah, Never mind. That's right. Before we started, Amy pulled out an old Feral Center hot dog. Leftover from yesterday. It was in her car since yesterday, and she's eating it. So, if Amy dies from food poisoning...
I ate a medium rare ribeye that had been in Todd's truck overnight in June in Texas, and I didn't die. Nothing can kill me. Nothing.
You're still sad that we gave that steak to that person in Waco.
I am still sad about that. I didn't even remember that until you just reminded me. What a waste. Texas. They're probably going to hire an asshole. And can't wait to see what happens. Would really like Baylor to decide to like get their act together when we play them.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Here's what I've said in a couple of different conversations. I don't feel confident about anything Baylor athletics right now. If something good happens, I feel like it was luck and we don't know how to replicate it.
I also feel like, especially this year in the Big 12 in basketball, anybody can win in any given week, in any given game.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a little bit, I don't know. It must be nice to be Gonzaga and just be like in a conference where you're like, I'm amazing and I'm going to win every game and everybody's still going to like be like skeet skeet over me and yeah.
We've been super not great and disappointing, but the fact that we won that game feels very good to me.
Like, personally, I would love it if Gonzaga joined the Big 12 as a basketball-only member just so they can get exposed on, like, a weekly basis in the spring.
Yeah.
I guess technically it's winter, but, you know, during conference play.
I also think that that's an away game that I would like to go to.
Gonzaga?
Yeah.
I mean, Spokane is allegedly cool.
I've never been to the Pacific Northwest.
Road trip. No, That's too much. Flying.
No. Flying. Flying nerd would do.
But not Southwest.
Yeah. Not, well, no. Not Southwest. It's true.
On behalf of Southwest Airlines, I apologize. I'm really sorry. The pilots union's been telling them for years. Sorry.
It must have been a very strange Christmas holiday season.
It was so weird.
To be a Southwest pilot. Yeah. Okay, so we play West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And we play Oklahoma State at home next week. And can we turn it around? I don't even know what West Virginia's record is this year. Don't know how they're playing.
Not a clue.
I assume that Huggy Bear will be sweating profusely, wearing athleisure wear, and looking angry as shit on the sideline. That's all I know.
It's true. But somehow still less angry than Bruce Pearl.
Lord, that man's going to have a seizure.
He really is. Someday he's going to give himself a heart attack. Yeah. So we got all that coming up. We may or may not talk to you guys again this year. Maybe we'll see you next January 8th. Well.
That can be like our, should we do a commemorative? How did you celebrate January 6th?
What did I do? How many days ago was that?
2 days ago. Remember, I dressed up as Lord Boebert.
I discovered that I have 1,018 students this semester, so that was fun.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. I basically just been trying to get ready for the semester, so.
When does school start for you?
Tomorrow. Well, not for me. I'm done with classes, but for my students, it starts tomorrow, so.
What a way to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but, like, you know that if we somehow go 2-0 this week, we're going to have to start recording again.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It's only crazy if it doesn't work.
We're not superstitious. We're just a little stitious.
Yes, and we're committing somewhat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if we're 2-0 this week, like, next
if
Sunday,
we win, we're recording again, so. You're welcome.
Hopefully we'll get our groove back, too. I feel like this was...
We got to knock off some rust.
We do have to knock off some rust. There's I saw barnacles. Something today about, like, if you have a podcast, don't worry about marketing. Just worry about getting those reps in. Don't worry about marketing until you've hit 100 episodes, which I don't think we're even close to.
I don't care about marketing anyway. This is literally just a way
for me to, like... I don't care about marketing. But I do care about doing well.
Anyway, votes for Elle.
Sick'em Bears. Yeah. It's going to be okay. Even if we aren't good at sports this year, we have our friendships and our health. Relatively. I feel like I wake up every day and something else is falling
We don't
apart.
Have to wear Hypnotoad.
I would do it, though, if it meant that my football team was going to a national championship.
I guess. Anyway, Sick'em Bears. Wear gold.
Sick'em Bears, wear gold. Do not wear purple tomorrow, no matter what.
No.
Although I guess when you're listening to this, it will be over. And TCU will either be a national champion or not. Fuck. What a dark timeline. This now is the winter of our discontent. Sick'em Bears.